Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now is the Rams pre- and post-game analyst and former Raider linebacker, Kirk Morrison. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kirk Morrison. And here's where I want to start with you, Kirk. How about your alma mater, Bishop O'Dowd, the Dragons, winning a state title this year?
Yeah, man, that was outstanding. Head coach Napoleon Coffin bringing home the first state title in football in our school history. So that was huge last weekend. I had a pretty good weekend, I would say that, fellas. I had, you know, my alma mater, Bishop O'Dowd, win a state title. I had my alma mater in college, San Diego State, win a bowl game versus in the Las Vegas Bowl over Houston. And then Sunday, which was the icing on the cake, the Raiders going back to the playoffs, clinching a spot down in San Diego while I was in attendance. So it was great, man. A great weekend for me.
Yeah, let me ask you that. Obviously, you follow the Raiders. If they win this weekend, they can clinch the AFC West. 2 years ago, they started out the season 0-10, and now they're 11-3. I mean, are you surprised by how quickly they turned this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, I really am, because you look at just the five-year plan for Reggie McKenzie and how it's just kind of come to fruition, man. This thing has been awesome, because people forget, in a day now, if you look at where this team was, just I look at the first 3 years under Reggie McKenzie, they were 4-12, 4-12, 3-13, and everybody's saying, oh, he should be fired, look at the coaching staff, all of this. But you look at the last 2 years, they were building to where they are now. You go from 7-9 last year, 11-3 this year, 7 Pro Bowlers, and a team that looks like it's not just a one-hit wonder. This team looks like it's building for the future. This team looks like it's ready to go toward the future. So I'm very surprised that it happened over these two quick years, but I don't forget about those 3 years under Reggie in the beginning where it was some tough times, and the patience of Mark Davis, I think now you're starting to see why. You got to be patient in national football, because good things will happen.
Man, I hear you, Kirk. I mean, who better to ask this next question than yourself? Real quick, about Derek Carr and the Raiders and the hopes of them trying to go far in the playoffs, how concerned are you from your vantage point about Derek Carr in the pinky, and now that they're doing everything pretty much out of shotgun, and you hear Derek say, you know, I'm good, are you worried a little more? Should Raider fans be a tad bit nervous if they got to go on the road, or just in general with that pinky not being 100%?
Yeah, I think two things here. I think really you really got to find a way to get one of those two, the number two seed AFC, if not the one seed. I think the Patriots may have wrapped that up already. But if the Raiders are able to get that two seed, it gives them an extra week of rest. I mean, they get that first round bye and they get a home playoff game. They get that. I think now you can give that pinky just a little bit more rest and try to incorporate more under center for Derek Carr. The only thing is, right now, with him being in shotgun, it limits your running game. Now, I know they ran for over 155, 160-yard-plus last week in San Diego, but you're not going to be able to do that in the playoffs. It's a little bit different. Teams are going to be scheme and definitely take that away from them. So I am a bit concerned, but I really feel like, look, it's a lot easier to get to the Super Bowl when you got to win two than having to win three. So I look at just, in general, not even about the pinky, just about this team being able to play one at home, and then, hey, who knows, be able to play two at home, and whatever happens to the Patriots, it just makes it a little bit easier road to get there, because I don't know how tough it is just winning on the road three consecutive games. That's pretty tough.
Kirk, I want to ask you about Rams quarterback rookie Jared Goff. How do you think his maturation is coming? How's he doing so far? I mean, he's started, what, 5 games now? What's your take on him?
Well, it's hard to really evaluate Jared because, you know what, he's just had an offensive line. It's really almost been sort of a turnstile. I mean, every defense coming in just really just feasts on that offensive line. And then Todd Gurley, his running game, has really been a shell of itself. He's had drops at the wide receiver position. And then the play calling hasn't been the best, I feel, for Jared. So when you're trying to evaluate him, it's, you know, really, can you get a good evaluation? Here's a guy that, I'll tell you this, he showed me more toughness than I really thought he had. He showed me better pocket awareness, better ability. He makes all the throws. Now, there's some throws that I know he wished he could have back, because they should be touchdown throws, they should be completions. But for the most part, when I evaluate him, I just think his decision-making has to be a little bit better. But you do see positives. It's just so hard to evaluate him on a big scale, because the way this team looks this year, it's not going to look the same next year. And I think you can really evaluate him next year during a full training camp and a full off season to see where he's at.
One thing I'm always fascinated by, and not just a football quarterback, but any professional athlete who's coming from the college ranks into the pros, especially someone who's got a lot of hype or is a top pick, is there's a lot of sentiment. We'll just throw him in there. Put him in there.
Right.
And sometimes the player might not be ready. What were you thinking as the season started? I mean, do you think Goff should have been in there from the get-go? Do you see where Fisher was coming from, maybe saying, you know, I don't want to, you know, throw him to the Lions because then maybe his confidence will be shot down the line? I mean, where do you come down on all that?
Well, I really agree with Fisher, and I know what happens is you get people who are not necessarily football, you know, insiders or fans that say, well, you traded up to the number one spot, he should be playing week one, and that's not the case, especially for Jared. They felt that this kid hasn't played under center or hasn't really been in football enough. You know, like basically, I used to run same offense since high school and college. Then he gets to NFL, and it's a different game. It's a big jump from NFL, or from the college ranks to the NFL. So I get where I thought Jeff Fisher was just saying, look, we're going to bring him along very slowly because we think he's our future. We don't want to just throw him out there. It's a little bit different. I'll compare these two really quickly. You look at the Raiders when they started Derek Carr, Matt Schaub, three seasons ago. The Raiders knew, like, look, we're not going anywhere. We're not a very good team. We want to be able to compete, but we know that no matter what's going to happen, we're going to roll with this kid and let's just go. Whether I look at the Rams situation this year, this was a team that was, you know, coming off a nice little finish last year. You know, they won three of the last four games with Case Keenum. So they said, look, we can win games and we can hold off for a while and then put Jared Goff in. And that's what I think it was a little bit different, was that this team was more ready to win this year so that you didn't have to play Goff. Whether it's the Raiders a couple of years ago just threw Carr in there and said, hey, no matter what, we're going to sink or swim with him.
Kirk, I was telling Matt about, you mentioned Jeff Fisher, and I feel like what sealed his fate was the disagreement or the miscommunication with Eric Dickerson. And I want to know your thoughts. And also, too, do you think John Gruden would come to L.A.? Because I do. That new stadium, the buzz, the team just coming back to the city. What are your thoughts?
I think the Eric Dickerson thing was really blown out of proportion, just because when you look at where Eric is coming from, he's a former player. And when you're losing, you're always going to get that. Whether you guys know it right there in the Bay Area, when the Raiders are losing, everybody was out, blew down on them. You get everybody talking about them and this and that. And so when you're losing, you get that. And basically, just Jeff Fisher just told him, like, look, you're not going to be able to talk about my coaches, talk about my players, what you do, to a point where you can't stand next to him and feel like as if you're going to still get the same treatment. And it didn't, to me, I didn't feel that it was kind of a distinct factor in everything. It was just when the team is losing, that's just what happens. I think eventually Fisher was just he was fired because of the way this team played over the last couple of weeks while he was head coach. I mean, he just didn't look like they were competing. The fact that he had just been lost and his message was getting lost. And I think that's where, you know, it had to be a change. And, you know, John Gruden is the name that you throw out there, but John doesn't want to leave the booth. I mean, he's got the best job in the business right now. He works one day a week, and then he gets to tutor some of the young players going into the National Football League, and he gets to work on the draft. He does so much, and I think getting him back, you really got to want to be a coach now because of you know, how does he set up his team? Who's going to be his general manager? Well, you know, what is he going to do as far as his day-to-day? Does he want to move from, you know, Florida to Los Angeles now? There's just a lot of facts that go into it where the name sounds good, but I just don't know if a guy who's been away for that long wants to come back and get back into that grind.
How about this? What kind of coach would you like to see the Rams hire?
Well, it's, really, I think that you have to look at what you have as far as the quarterback position, and you have to blossom him. How do you, you know, bring along your quarterback? I think you have to go with a sort of an offensive-minded head coach. I really look and admire what the people down in Miami did this year, bringing over Adam Gase, who actually could have been the 49ers head coach. Mm-hmm. He just didn't work out, you know. But you think about what Adam Gase was able to do, going over to Miami, changing the culture there. This team can clinch a playoff berth this weekend, and it's because they brought in an offensive-minded head coach, and they brought in a guy who has worked, you know, with the Jay Cutlers. You know, he's worked now with Ryan Tannehill. He's worked with Peyton Manning before. So you're bringing in that type of pedigree and then changing the culture around the team. And now the Miami Dolphins are right there knocking on the door for a playoff spot. I think that's kind of where you want to go. So it's either, you know, a coach of a Kyle Shanahan type, who's the offensive coordinator in Atlanta. Obviously, Josh McDaniels is going to be the name a lot of people throw out because he does have head coaching experience. But I look to be somewhat a coordinator type that can come in and really mentor Jared Goff and then really change the culture of this team.
Hey, Kirk, great stuff. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, right, no problem. Happy Friday, fellas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.